GBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. New York City Police stepping up security ahead of today's Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York City. ABC's Aaron Katursky is along the route.
Barricades, blocker vehicles, and busloads of police officers are in place to guard the 98th Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. There are no specific or credible threats, but an NYPD bulletin obtained by ABC News says the high-profile nature of a parade watched by millions may be leveraged and exploited by individuals with various political or personal grievances.
The Australian Senate has just passed a social media ban on young children. It will soon become the first of its kind law in the world. It won't be implemented for a year while social media companies figure out how to work with the government to implement it. Three Americans who had been detained in China now back on U.S. soil. They were released by a prisoner swap. One of the men is from Houston, was arrested during a business trip. He was accused of drug possession, but Beijing never presented any evidence. This is ABC News. A federal appeals court is now saying that Texas can keep in place that razor wire it put along the border.
The Biden administration has called the 29 miles of razor wire unrolled along the Rio Grande excessive and inhumane. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has defended the tactic, saying it funnels migrants toward legal border crossing points. Now the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals has issued a 2-1 opinion ordering federal agents to stop taking down the wire.
ABC's Jim Ryan in Dallas. After the decision, the governor announced more razor wire will be put up. Getting turkeys to some remote parts of Alaska for Thanksgiving sounds a little like that scene from WKRP in Cincinnati.
Oh, my God, they're turkeys! Oh, Johnny, can you get this? Oh, they're crashing to the earth right in front of
us. For the third year in a row, Esther Keim has been flying a small plane, low and slow, over rural parts of Alaska. She's dropping frozen turkeys to people who might not be able to get to a store. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, Talk of Green Bay.
Harbor Freight knows tool people like to keep busy. But with our Black Friday sale now through Monday, you'll want to free up some time. We're talking deals like our 5,000-watt generators under $800, 17-foot ladders for $99.99, and 40% off Icon Pro socket sets. Whatever you do, do it for less at Harbor Freight. Valid until 12/2/24. While supplies last, limitations apply.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, Glickin' Weekend's box office haul turned out to be no match for that of Barbenheimer's, but it was still impressive and helped the holiday box office get off to a great start. As expected, Wicked landed in the top spot with a take of $114 million, more than doubling Gladiator 2's haul of $56 million at the gate. Gladiator 2, directed by Ridley Scott and starring Paul Mescal, Connie Nielsen, Denzel Washington, and Pedro Pascal, was never expected to be the top dog, as it was always Oppenheimer to Wicked's Barbie. Wicked slightly exceeded expectations with its box office haul, whereas Gladiator 2 came in just under its expectations. This is becoming a trend in Hollywood where two films coming out at the same time were not necessarily competing against each other, but help each other create a social media phenomenon. Landing in third place in week two of its release was Red One with $13 million. Rounding out the top five were Bonhoeffer, Pastor Spy Assassin, and the resilient Venom, The Last Dance, which came in fifth place with $4 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Packers host the Dolphins. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers and the Dolphins tonight at Lambeau Field, where temperatures will dip into the mid-20s that could make starting field position more crucial. Green Bay punter Daniel Whelan has improved on his directional punts. Special teams coordinator Rich Bisaccia.
I think he started to understand where he is on the field and what he wants to hit. He's gone out there with a conviction of what he wants to do, and he's stayed to task, and he's played pretty well to this point.
College football, Wisconsin plays tomorrow on a rare black Black Friday game as they host the Minnesota Gophers. Although the Badgers fired their offensive coordinator, head coach Luke Fickle says they need improvement on defense.
When we've had our lapses, that's where it's been. And that's why I said it might be hard to pinpoint, like it's not some schematic thing. It's a little bit easier once you watch to say, okay, guys, we just got to get back to the basics of what we do and making sure we're leveraging the football, we're tackling, and we're playing more sound. I
mean, that's Badgers head coach Luke Fickle with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly cloudy this morning, becoming mostly cloudy by later this afternoon. Our high today, 33, with wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Breezy with flurries tonight, low of 18. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 27. Saturday, partly cloudy, with a high in the upper 20s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we get a sneak peek at the Hawktua Girls' new reality show. And I welcome Discover Wisconsin host Andrea Belke and from National Lampoon, Jamie Kaler and Jeff Tully.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Still Cameron Bay, Pan Am flight, take me back to the States. Thought I was done and on my way, but God had different plans. I had to spend one more night alone in the valley of death. Not my will, be yours, be done with every breath. So I laid down on the cot, tried to get a little rest, prayed myself to sleep. 45 on my chest, words can't tell what I felt when I felt the warmth of that rising sun. But good morning, Vietnam. When you think your time is almost gone, you think about mama, you think about home, you think about supper sitting on the stove, so close you can almost taste it. Had to spend one more night alone in the valley of death. Now my will be yours, be done with every breath.
Hey, welcome back. Once again, Duck Creek VFW, ladies and gentlemen. We're having a great time here once again. And every time I've been here, I think, Wesley, you've been here, haven't you?
I sure have, John. And, you know, I remember back the days when we had Nikki doing, you guys doing your show live here. And it was quite the ordeal setting up everything and then, you know, broadcasting it live and making it cool for everybody in here. And just, you know, having you going around and, you know, interviewing people all over inside the VFW. It was truly exciting to hear all the different stories and everything that, you know, these guys have gone through. You know, I can't say, you know, that I've been in wartime myself, because I haven't. But on a technicality, I did qualify to be a member of the VFW just for doing some time in Korea, and because that war is still going on. So they, you know, they said, well, if you did time in Korea, you qualified to be a member of the VFW. So, and that's kind of how I'm here, and I've got, you know, a lot of the people that I served with in the 2 of the 127th that are members here. Of course, that unit has gone to Afghanistan and Iraq.
That's the unit I embedded with in Iraq.
Yeah.
It's a great unit, the 2127.
Yeah, and I was a member of the Scout Platoon there. Bruce Jagodinsky was a guy I served full-time with in the Guard, you know, side-by-side with him. And, you know, I think he's still working over there.
He was in Camp Navistar, Kuwait, when I was there with him.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, and it just so happened, you know, when they had two different types of job positions there. They had AGR, and they had technician positions. And I was a technician, so I had a GS rating. I think it was a GS-7, I think, at the time. And the technicians, you still carried a pink ID card, where the green ID cards went to the AGR guys, because they were just, like, you know, full-time
active. And explain what AGR is.
Active Guard and Reserve.
Yeah.
So basically they cut their workforce in half, and I was kind of forced to make a decision, either get out because my ETS date was coming up and go back to school or re-up and just be a member of the reserves, I guess, basically. And I chose to do the latter and went back to school because I had, I think, three. Back then, they put a time limit on when you could use up your benefits. You know, now there's no time limit. You take forever to use it. But I had like three more years to use it up. So I'm like, all right, I'll go back to school. Got a degree in business administration from NWTC, graduated with a 4.0 GPA.
Nobody likes a bragger.
Nobody likes a bragger.
He didn't have me.
Yeah.
Well, the thing was,
Jim and I added up to 4.7. I had the 2.7. Right. He had the 2.
When I initially got out, I went to school at UWGB doing the same program. Failed miserably. The classroom settings were just totally different. You know, 500 people in an auditorium, some guy from India talking about astronomy. We had billions and billions of stars in the galaxy. I'm like, oh, my God, when's the final? I'll show up for that.
Well, let me ask you this, though. I mean, you were here back in the days when we used to have World War II veterans. And I'll tell you what, when those guys would talk, you wouldn't hear a pin drop in this room. I remember the time we had the guy from who had been a prisoner of war of the Japanese, who's in the Bataan Death March, and other guys, Battle of the Bulge. And wasn't that a wonderful breed, generation of gentlemen that we've pretty much lost? I think I've got two World War II veterans from my books that are still alive. And they're still in great health, I will say that, knock on wood. But what a great group of those guys they were, weren't they?
Oh, they are. And you know, and the stories they could tell, and some of the memorabilia that did bring in. I remember that one time somebody had, I think it was a parachute flag that we unfurled.
On the whole table, took up the whole table.
Took up, we could have had more table. And it was just huge. And somebody brought that home.
Yeah.
You know, what a cool piece of artifact history to kind of hang on to. So,
but I remember sometimes with the World War II guys, the only thing I had to be very careful of is they were still a little crusty in certain ways and would forget they were on the radio. And this was before we had a delay. And there were a couple of times and they would get into their stories and, we would have to, whoops, let's just move on. Hey, Nikki, I'd throw it to Nikki every time. Whenever we got comfortable, hey, Nikki, take it away. Yes.
Yeah.
But there are so many. Jim and I were looking at the Press Gazette yesterday. It's mind-boggling how many events there are going on now for veterans versus back in those days. And I almost feel like the VFW here at Duck Creek, they were really instrumental in getting the word out that they're going to do something really special for veterans. And I think a lot of people have piggybacked on that, and rightly so, and it's a great thing. But I think this place where we're sitting right now, very instrumental in honoring our vets throughout the whole Green Bay area on Veterans Day.
Yeah, and it's something that this post has always been really, really proud of. And I know John Weir, I forget what his position is here. He's the...
Pretty much runs the whole thing.
Well, he
does... We had John on the show the other day.
He runs the checkbook.
Yeah.
Right. He's also my brother-in-law, so I feel pretty honored to know John. But, you know, he's just so instrumental in fighting for vets and the different ways to promote this place. I mean, the lighted sign that we have out there, that was spearheaded by him as well. So, and what a great piece to advertise out here, and kind of get the word out of upcoming events and things that we have going on out here. So,
and it's pretty cool to see. And I would agree with Johnny. This is kind of a catalyst that you guys got going on here, and the turnout's unbelievable, and just a lot of camaraderie. But It's got to make you feel good how this has expanded to really more than just a day. It's kind of a week, and the Packers did a nice job with the Salute 16. The restaurants are involved, the schools that are bringing people in. I mean, you've done a great job on getting this thing to where it needs to be and continue to grow.
Well, yeah, and I remember back, the days where, veterans were called baby killers, and, they were spit upon and different stuff like that. And now... You mentioned anywhere, hey, I'm a veteran, or like, oh, well, you get 10% off, or
right.
They just do so many different things for veterans all across the this state, especially the city of Green Bay. I mean, there's places all over that, not just on Veterans Day, but I mean year round even.
Right. And I think that's great, and I think I do. I can only speak for Green Bay, but I think they've done a good job of educating. And you know, when we go to schools and talk, and a lot of us politicians did that, and we tell those kids, you know, when they go say their prayers at night, to thank God for the veterans, you know. I mean, you wouldn't have the school.
Absolutely.
You wouldn't have the parks. You wouldn't have what you have. And it, you know, takes time to change, you know. But I do. I feel pretty good about the community. I hope you do, too. I mean, you're the veteran. I'm not. But I
feel great.
Yeah, I think so, too. So with all the veterans groups I deal with and everything like that, it just even over the last 25 years, it's been a huge difference. And I'm not sure what the impetus was, but there has been a huge – you know, maybe it was the media. I blame the media. When I talk a lot of times about Vietnam coming back, I blame the media for the way they tarnished a lot of the Vietnam vets. And, you know, you'd always see headlines, crazed Vietnam vet right. does yada yada, or Vietnam vet. No matter – you know, some guy could have done any – been in Vietnam for a day, but – boy, the media had to grab that headline of Vietnam vet, and they got painted with that brush. And I tell the story about a great friend of mine in Manitowoc. He came back, wonderful gentleman, you know, fought his butt off and did whatever and came back with no issues. And he'd apply for jobs, and he'd go in, and it's like, boy, you're qualified. You're perfect for this. And they say, what are your military obligations? Or is there a chance you're going to be drafted? It's like, nope, it's all done. I just got back from Vietnam. And he'd never hear from them again.
Yeah, that's
good. And it was a job.
Crickets.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
It's a
right.
job he was totally, completely perfect yeah. for, and you would never hear from them again when he said he was a Vietnam vet. And that's one reason we had Ron Umentum up here talk about he went 12 and a half years. Right. Have another gentleman went 25 years because of that stigma that was attached to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the as challenging as it was, the military's been kind of good to you. I mean, you're quite successful. You're actually in radio.
Well, not necessarily radio.
Well,
you... Okay. Media. How's
coming,
media?
Coming from a
media.
Guy who's been in radio, saying that we're successful because we're in radio, thank you. or that you BS for a living.
Well, that's what we both do, but yeah.
Well, that's in politics, too.
Right.
Yeah, for 37 years now, I've been a mobile disc jockey, DJing people's wedding receptions. And recently, just because of you know, different public speaking things I would do, people would say, wow, your voice is just amazing. I really love your voice. I could listen to it, you know, for hours, you know. So I'm like, well, maybe God's trying to tell me something. So I actually went to a school called Such a Voice, hired a vocal coach, and went through that whole process, recorded some demos, and now looking to get that off the ground.
We were talking earlier. There's a little money in if you want to be the voice of, like, a character in Family Guy or some of these things where there aren't.
Oh, sure, sure.
I mean, that's acting money.
That's acting money. You know, you got to learn how to act. You know, it's just not reading something off.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a lot of times you got to express the emotion into, you know, whatever it is that you're trying to read, and that really resonates with your audience.
I think you're going to do just fine.
Yeah, that's a great voice. Yeah, that's awesome. Anyway. Well, Wesley, thanks for all you've done over the years here at the VFW. And, you know, a lot of VFWs are struggling around the country, and I know this one has as well, but there's some great people here, John, and the great young people that are running this now. I think this is going to be here forever, and it should, because this is a heritage. We're talking about those World War II people and Korean War vets and all those people. This was their place, and we have to do everything we can as a community to make sure these places survive. This is part of the heritage.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And they always got different things going on, so always just stay tuned. And just like the other guests that you had on earlier, you know, just because you checked once, yeah, doesn't mean you shouldn't come back and check again.
No, nope. Absolutely.
And Joel was actually in Iraq when I was there. Iraq or Afghanistan, yeah. I embedded with his unit.
Yep.
So good people here, good friends. Duck Creek VFW, thank you so much for you. You work your butt off on this day. So you keep this thing popping. Congratulations and thank you.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Right, you bet. Mino the Mayor, Veterans Day Show from Duck Creek VFW. Back with it.
From De Pere to Suamico, 97.9 WGBW. The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
In 1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going to get them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, welcome back once again. Duck Creek VFW here, Veterans Day, celebrating this, and of course, Thanksgiving, what we have to be thankful for. And I'll tell you what, our community has someone to be thankful for, and that's a gentleman sitting between us, because this is a veteran, a Vietnam veteran, who took it upon himself and others to help young veterans that need a helping hand. Mike Sheedy, great to have you here, buddy.
Well, thanks, John. Jim, it's good to be back here again this morning.
And you're, of course, with Veterans Court. You're very instrumental with that.
Yeah, I'm the mentor coordinator for the Northeast Wisconsin Veterans Treatment Court. That means the guys that come into court and ladies that come into court, we get them assigned to a mentor. All the mentors are veterans, so it's a veteran helping another veteran and guiding them through the 15 to 18 months they spend in the Veterans Treatment Court.
And Mike, that program, that was one of the many things you've done, but the alternative for some of these guys would maybe to go to jail.
Jail or prison.
Right. And they, the judge, and you vet these guys, but you and the judge and your organization work out a program where you take them under your wing. I mean, they commit to you that they're going to live a life of sobriety with and be accountable. I just think the work you've done, we've had some of your recipients, is that what you would call them? Or graduates?
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking for.
Participants and graduates have been on your guys' program. Our court is really good about individually coming up with a program for each veteran that's in the court. They come in and they have to be VA qualified to be able to come into the court. When they come in, we get them lined up with their VA benefits they have coming. We get them lined up with health benefits they didn't know they had. We try to get them to go to school, involved in the community. We have them doing community service. Like I said, trying to go to school and better themselves. We help them find apartments if they need apartments.
Right.
It's an all-encompassing program. Not only that, it helps vets, but it puts veterans' families back together also. It's one of our things we're most proud of is we have the ability through the 15 to 18 months there to get them back involved with their family because a lot of them have lost contact or their families, you know, because of their convictions and stuff, don't want anything to do with them. But we get them straightened out. We bring guys back.
I was just going to say, Mike, and it's amazing because, I mean, prison is pretty much a one-size-fits-all, you know, and you guys just focusing on that individuality, giving them a mentor. We've had Rich Heidel on our show, too, who served as a great mentor, Tom Hintz, and it's working. I think that's the beauty of that. That's not even available in all 72 counties yet, is it?
No, it's not. I believe there's 13 veteran treatment courts in the state of Wisconsin. And as far as the guys that are involved in the court, we'd like to see them in every county. Because there's veterans in every county that are struggling, especially the young guys coming home. They're much better about when they bring them back now than they just don't throw them back in the community. But a lot of guys, they get caught up in they get PTSD. We got a lot of guys at TBIs, and the guys are just, they're struggling. They come into our court like they're lost, and then when we help them find their way back.
And you know something, Mike, that goes along with the credo of the Vietnam vets. Never again will our country ignore our returning war veterans, and you guys were ignored, but you guys have made it your mantra that these young people, men and women coming back from war, you guys are there for them in pretty much every way, shape, and form.
As much as we can be. Most of the welcome home ceremonies that are put on throughout the country were started by Vietnam vets were so disappointed in a way that when they came back, you know, it's just like nobody gave a damn. You know, there was all kinds of different stuff that happened to guys that had come back that don't even been talked about enough. But guys came back and they never were welcomed home.
And the thing is, we came up here a little bit earlier talking about the suicides and, you know, guys just quietly would, you know, take their own lives. And they didn't really have a support system. Now there's not a veteran that can't pick up a phone or email or text or something where they won't have a whole bunch of guys in line saying, hey, buddy, I got your back. I got your six. I'm right here for you.
100%. They just came out with, I think it's 988. I'm not sure. But there is all kinds of help now for veterans that there never was before. I mean, as a country, we owe them everything we have now because of the veterans. We wouldn't have what we have now if it wasn't for the veterans.
And, Mike, with the support that, you know, you were through your Veterans Court and some of the other organizations that you work with, veteran necessarily doesn't have to make the call. It can be a spouse, a daughter.
100%. Just as long as they don't fall through the cracks. There's so many of them that fall. They don't know what's out there. They're, you know, veterans have always been raised to be independent and tough and not ask for help. But now it's so much better now. It's the stigma of asking for help now has been removed. Guys are asking for help. They're coming in. They're volunteering. If they can't handle that life anymore, they want help. You know, they're not satisfied with their life anymore. They're scared of where they're going, and they want to get out of that cycle, that vicious cycle that they get caught up in and never can break out of.
And that help is there largely thanks to you and what you guys are doing. I just, God bless you for doing this. You're an inspiration. And 13 counties have this Veterans Court. I know there's a lot of other services, you know,
right.
Like Johnny talked about. We just had that big suicide awareness event. But to reach out, I think, is the first step.
Yeah, 100%. Getting guys to let somebody else help you. That ask is the biggest struggle with a lot of guys have is asking for the help, you know. It's like I was caught up in some a vicious cycle of alcohol myself, and until I asked for that help and asked for it, and there was tons of people that were willing to help me. All I had to do was ask. And the 23rd of this month, I'll have 13 years of sobriety.
That's phenomenal.
That's great. Congratulations.
And I would say one thing, though, Mike. Your service in Vietnam, I want to thank you for that. You were right off the coast there, right at the time when things got a little bit hairy.
Yeah, we were. I was over there in 72 when they had all the linebacker, put a blockade on North Vietnam, and we were involved in that. We were involved in all these linebacker raids. Always cracked me up because they always told us we were going to take our ship and we were going to sneak up on these targets and start shelling them. I never could figure out how something was 400 feet long.
I was going to sneak up on anybody.
Stuck out of water 150 feet. We were going to sneak up on anybody.
Well, Mike, thank you for doing that. And, of course, yeah. You know how the respect I have for your father and your entire family. Your father, decorated World War II veteran, went through some amazing things.
My dad was a badly shot up World War II vet. And he spent 2 years in Walter Reed Hospital because of his injuries and stuff. And he came home and He never complained about his injuries, never whined about anything, and never, it was just what it was.
Yep.
I remember when we were kids, we were growing up, you know, I used to have races with your dad and stuff. We'd wait till he got about 35, 40 feet away from the back porch, and then we'd race him. We didn't know, because that was all the further he could run. That's all his legs would stand.
Yeah, tough gentleman, wasn't
he? Yeah, he was... There was no give. There was no gray areas with those World War II vets. It was pretty much all black and white.
And I was so honored that he shared his story with me for my first book.
Yeah, he did. And him and my mom, that day they came out, that you came out to the house, my dad wasn't feeling really good. And, well, as a matter of fact, shortly after you interviewed him, he died. But he said, it's time for my story to come out. It's time for these people to hear what we went through in World War II. It's to hear what actually happened from somebody who was there. So, but before that, he wasn't out. Not much in the telling this story.
Well, I'm sure I'm honored and appreciative that he did, buddy.
And we're all grateful.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike Schitte, for everything you do, for your Vietnam service, for your family service to our country, and for what you're doing for the returning veterans now. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. I'm glad you guys were out here today. This stuff is important. This post is important. It's important because a lot of their focus on veteran, but they also focus on kids. They post that here. I came earlier this summer with the principal and from Bayview Middle School, and we asked for a donation. They gave us 78 3x5 brand-new flags for the classrooms, and I think it was a 10x15 flag for the gym, and the Post donated all that stuff. So the kids are involved. Like you said, the young people now they get it now because they've been shown the right way.
Awesome. Mike Schitte, thank you so very much, buddy.
Thanks for coming on.
Mind of the Mayor down here at Duck Creek VFW on Veterans Day. Back after this.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Well, with overall milk supplies remaining tight and more processing coming online next year, dairies are looking at their patrons a little differently. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Mike North with EverAg in Platteville says that currently there's some conversations that dairies are having with their patrons about not worrying so much about quotas.
In some co-ops, they're actually voting to remove the quota altogether. Just to eliminate that language from the playbook. Because at this stage in the game, I think everybody realizes that tool was good for the moment, but nobody wants to talk about it again. Because it did hold back several people from taking that next step forward a couple of years ago when they wanted to. Because if we go back a couple of years, remember $23, $24 milk in 2022 that helped, you know, send the signal. And if we would have already been expanding, we wouldn't be in the place that we're at right now.
Mike North, broker with EverAg out of Platteville. He says, while these conversations are ongoing, first quarter of 2025 still looks precarious for all dairy processors. Markets finished a little mixed yesterday in Chicago. Numbers are next.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game. This week's contestant already looks like a winner, Jim. He's sporting a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn t-shirt. Well, with an advanced combination of exclusive genetics at his side, this should be an easy 3 points. Like three distinct modes of action against above ground pests. All right, here's the kick. It's good! Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Start your best year yet. Visit pioneer.com/nopests.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
All right, so we've got a couple news items that could impact our markets today. Israel approving the ceasefire with Hezbollah and President-elect Trump talking about tariffs in play for Mexico and Canada, including potash coming out of Canada. December corn dropped 4¾ cents to 420. January beans were down 2¼, 983.5. December wheat was up 3¾ cents, 539.5. Barrel and block cheese were unchanged on Tuesday, while the AA butter dropped 2¾ cents to 248.5. December class 3 milk was up 40, 1881 a hundredweight. I'm PM Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy this morning, becoming mostly cloudy by later this afternoon. Our high today, 33, with wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Breezy with flurries tonight, low of 18. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 27. Saturday, partly cloudy, with a high in the upper 20s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With limited incomes not keeping up with the lingering effects of inflation, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.kwwf.org.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time for a special Thanksgiving show. We'll give you some updates on the season and also some best ofs of the year. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. 2 days past.
just 18. He was waiting for the bus in his army green. Sat down in a booth in a cafe there. Gave his order to a girl with a bow in her hair. He's a little shy, so she gave him a smile. And he said, would you mind sitting down for a while and talking to me? I'm feeling a little low. She said, I'm off in an hour and I know where we can go. So they went down and they sat on the pier. He said, I bet you got a boyfriend, but I don't care. I got no one to send a letter to. Would you mind if I sent one back here to you?
Okay, welcome back to Duck Creek VFW here on Veterans Day. It's so much fun talking with all these veterans. You know, we talked with Vietnam veterans and both their dads were World War II veterans. We got Tommy here, who's an Iraq veteran. Tommy, welcome. It's great to have you in a VFW.
Thank you guys for having me. Appreciate
you
it.
You bet. You know, a lot of VFWs are really struggling to get the young vets, and it'd be great if you could help out these kind of little entities, keep them alive.
They are nice. I do know, talking to a lot of younger vets on one of the reasons why they don't want to go to them and stuff like that, because it reminds them of where they have been.
Yeah.
And a lot of vets from my age, they want to kind of forget what they went through sometimes.
I know.
But Tommy, after coming here for a little while, is the camaraderie, I mean, do you think it's something they should get engaged in?
Oh, I definitely believe they should. It's
right.
A lot of guys, they want to get away from it. They want to forget that part of it. But that's where we most feel, like my personally myself, I feel more at home. I don't feel at home around civilians. I feel at home more around veterans.
And your experiences have been like nothing else, and Johnny and I really can't relate to that, and they can.
Yes.
You know, fellow, and
you
I,
can, yeah. Yep.
The great part is I suffer from PTSD from when I was overseas. I have learned more on how to get along in life and how to function from the Vietnam vets. They have actually told me, hey, this works. This is what worked for me. So they're actually helping more of being able to function in life.
Isn't that the truth? They're a wonderful bunch. They're, like they said, they'll leave no one behind ever again.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. That's
awesome. Now, you were in an area over there that was pretty rough. You were telling me about it. I've gone up and down Route Irish twice, and you know how they talk about the pucker factor, the whatever factor you want to call it?
Yeah.
That entire trip down Route Irish is so scary. It's incredible, isn't it? Right outside of between Baghdad and the Green Zone.
Yep, it's definitely, we used to call it a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was one of those ones where it's like, okay, how many times are we getting blown up today?
Yeah. I remember they showed me when I got back to one of the bases, and they showed me on the computer with a, I think it was a red dot where there was an IED, and it was just like a Christmas tree with red lights on. It was incredible how many IEDs just in those 48 hours were on that route.
Yes. And my area of operation was a big area in trying to stop them from getting to Irish. So we were trying to stop
it's
the
a
flow
big area.
There. Yeah.
Wow.
So.
And then there's another place that was a scary place was Sadr City, and you were in Sadr City.
Yeah, one of the more unfortunate nights I had.
That was a I've talked to some of those battle-hard people in the world, and that is one of the scariest places on the face of the earth. Could you describe that?
It's probably one related to where an ambush can happen at any time.
Yeah.
They can immobilize very fast there. It was a no-go zone.
Yeah.
So we got stuck up in there, and thank God for Viper Unit, which is the Apache unit for 3ID. We trained with them. That's where I was with. They came and saved us, our 269 element, out of one of our FOBs. They brought their whole battalion for us.
Wow, that's awesome.
So,
you're a young guy, and you went in. What encouraged you? What was your motivation? You weren't drafted.
No.
Nobody's drafted anymore.
I know. No. That's what I'm saying.
That ended in 72.
Yeah, I know that. I just, but you raised your hand. And what? Tell me about that, and then I'm going to ask you. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, so I came from a military family. My old man was Marines in Vietnam. My uncle was a Marine in Desert Storm. I had my other uncle was Navy in Somalia. So I came from a family of just long line of military. And we all grew up with the, you have to serve. It was one of those things that you took pride in raising your right hand and saying, yes, I will serve my country.
That's awesome.
I hope my kids never have to.
Yeah.
And I took that line for that. But it is one of those things where it's ingrained in my family.
You know, I got to say that, too. I can't imagine my son going into Solder City or down Route Irish. I would never sleep. I wouldn't sleep. I wouldn't eat. If you know, once you know what it's like, knowing that you've got a loved one being there, I wouldn't be able to handle it. Could you?
It's definitely a scary thought, and that's why we never really told our families what was going on back home.
You couldn't?
No.
I had a buddy that got blown up in Solder City from a lob bomb. Do you remember lob bombs? They'd basically take a propane tank of propane and literally almost like medieval, launch it over the blast walls when the Humvees were going through on patrols.
Yep. They also like to do the one of their favorite things for a while there was the semi-trucks.
Yes.
Where they'd put mortars in the back of the semi-trucks and just drive by the base and just light up.
I had one good buddy that guy I stayed with looking at his computer in his office. He was in the green zone, his civil affairs. I said, did somebody take a shotgun to your computer? He says, no. He said, I was here on duty one day, and a rocket came over from Solder City, came over the river, and hit my hooch, the center of my hooch, and blew everything up. He goes, and my wife had just sent me all this great fragrant soap. It smelled fantastic. But he said, this is my only thing. He said, I'm glad I went to duty early that day. But that's the way it is over there. I mean, you could be the most highly trained, toughest, whatever, whatever, prepared, and all of a sudden something comes out of the sky.
Yep.
And, yeah.
Yeah, we had that actually happen. We lost 36 soldiers in one day.
Wow.
Yep.
In Solder City?
No, they actually hit our FOB, and our FOB was wide open where we could see everything coming at us, and they still got us.
Wow. Were you there?
Yes.
How did they attack?
Rockets, rocket-propelled mortars.
Wow. What size? Was that 122?
They hit us with 110s.
110s. Wow. And mortars?
Yep.
Wow. God bless you, man, for surviving that.
Right. You struggled a little bit when you got back.
Yes.
And I can you just share with us a little bit, has the support been there for you? I mean, obviously, we're here at the VFW,
yeah,
and there's a lot of camaraderie. A lot of your brothers are here, but...
The support's been there since I've gotten out. It's still a stigma in the military. It probably always will be, because everybody goes through it. Everybody deals with it, definitely if you're in combat units. But since I've gotten out, it took a while for me to reach out for help. That was the big thing, was actually reaching out for help to get the help to actually deal with things. And it was Vietnam vets were telling me, hey, this program's here. Take advantage of it.
So, that's outstanding.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And it is working. I mean, you sure seem well-adjusted.
I'm still adjusting. It's a day at a time. And honestly, I don't know if I'll ever go back to the way I was before the military.
Well, I had Chuck Wellens, a Vietnam vet, Marine vet, that we had on the other day. And when we asked him, Chuck, when you came back, what's the first thing you realized? He said, I lost my youth. I've absolutely lost my youth. I'm still a young guy, but it will never be youthful again. Do you understand what he was saying?
Oh, yes. Yeah, and that's one of the things, too, is when you see things over there, the little things that bother people here, you look at it like it's stupid, honestly.
Right?
You know, people freaking out about little things. It's like, go somewhere else where they're happy just to have a bottle of water.
Well, I'll tell you a quick story. I tell people that when I speak at places. I gave a little work traveling down the street, and I asked the guys if I could give this little girl something. I gave her a bottle of water, and she's walking away, and she's picking up rocks. And guys had told me, if you see kids with rocks, let everybody know, because the gunners back then weren't very well protected. They're getting some facial injuries. And the guy said, don't worry about it. She's not going to throw rocks. I'm like, what do you mean? And he pointed down the road, and there were these three boys, about 12, 13. He said, they saw you give her that bottle of water, and she's going to try to defend herself with that.
Yep.
Yeah, with those rocks. I mean, so I tell kids at school, how tough is your day today versus this little girl struggling for a bottle of water and have to defend off three guys twice her size with rocks?
Yep.
But I think that's what Tommy's saying is how...
Yeah, appreciate what we got
right,
here.
Right, or just how, you know, I mean, come on,
yeah,
you know? I mean, you have no idea what life could be like.
Yep.
But you guys, I will say this, people don't realize this too. You guys weren't just the big, bad, ashed guys in body armor, kicking in doors and doing whatever, whatever. You guys tried so hard to help civilians. So hard.
That was a lot of my second tour. Was unfortunately, we were in Najaf, and that was after the Najaf massacre.
Oh.
And it was trying a lot of hearts and minds and trying to rebuild a reputation with them. And
you guys never got enough credit for that, because you know what? That was a very dangerous occupation, too, just trying to help people.
Yes. Unfortunately, I've lost friends with that, going out for stuff like that. But, you know, when you did make a difference, seeing the kids, when you made a difference in their life, it actually made it worth it to a lot of us.
Yeah.
I think the media could have been better. I mean, the schools you did, they...
Don't get me started. That's my soapbox.
Johnny, what I was saying was we criticized the media in the Vietnam, and I think there's some criticism to be open for these guys, too. For this time, for this war, too. I still think...
You know what the problem was with Jim? Having just experienced it a little bit like that, the blood and gore and the whatever and stuff like that, that's low-hanging fruit. That's so easy to cover. It's a piece of cake. What they don't cover is this other aspect, the civil affairs, the winning the hearts and minds, going in and working one-on-one with kids and families and teachers and trying to get them the basic necessities of life. Right. And that's the part that I don't think has been told well enough, Tommy.
It hasn't. And it's kind of hard to talk about that, too, though, because a lot of it, what we would consider something small here, was huge to them.
Huge.
You know, bringing trailers of water in.
Right. Okay, Sauter City, one of the reasons that we finally kind of controlled Sauter City is they went in with civil affairs units, and they lived in some of those neighborhoods, which was dangerous, and they would bring them food and water and treat them like human beings. These people had been treated like garbage under Saddam's regime, just horrifically. And all of a sudden, somebody was giving them water, giving them some medical things. And then, you know what? It was always like, well, you might want to check out that house down the street. Don't say I said anything, but they were the ones that helped with the intelligence.
Yeah, and most of our intelligence came from the locals, from the people we were helping. And also, too, we would get, you'd go in and you could tell when somebody was up to something because we got, you know, ISR, birds overhead.
Yep.
Okay, we're about to get hit. And then you'd see a bunch of the locals go out there and stop it. Like, you know, not here.
Because they were finally being treated with respect and like human beings.
Yes.
And that's a story that's never been told.
I agree.
And I think it's a very important story.
Yep.
You must take, whether it was communicated to back to America or not, there's got to be some self-satisfaction in getting these kids back and some of the schools that you built and some of the, I mean, do you feel like you did?
Honestly, with what happened after we left, no.
Well, I didn't want to get to that. I think I wanted to talk more about you, Tommy, and that you must, the personal satisfaction. I mean, the government, really, they don't, I want to leave that out of it. I want to talk about you as a person. And, you know, you feel like you as a person, you contributed
because you did.
Because you did what you could do.
We did what we could do and, you know, tried to make the best of it for people. Unfortunately, my first tour, it wasn't as much of the hearts and minds because of what our task and mission was.
Yeah. Well, you couldn't be, though, either. I mean, you just try to keep your butt alive.
No, and we had a mission. Like, we were starting to do the hearts and minds. We were bringing some of the infrastructure in. But our main mission was to stop the flow of IEDs into Baghdad.
Yeah.
And so it was an area where when we showed up to Iraq, there was three berms and a wall of tanks was our FOB.
That's it.
And a bunch of tents, and that's all we had.
Wow. That's incredible.
And it was, hey, this is your mission. This is your AO. And we kept going.
What was your first year, Tommy?
I deployed for my first time in 07 to 08.
Okay.
Right at the surge.
That was the end of 06 right through 08 was the toughest time. We had more casualties in that time span than any other time span.
Yep.
Yeah. Tommy, when you look back, though, with your fellow soldiers, and I know you lost some, and that's so tragic and everything, but the bond, the brotherhood, the having each other six, you'll never experience that for the rest of your life, will you?
No, and it's one thing I've talked to some other vets about, and I honestly believe I'm closer to the guys I deployed with than my own family.
Yeah.
Because you experience things together that you will never experience with anybody else.
Yeah.
We hear that, and it's nice to have a venue like we're at today,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is. And I like going to the VFWs. I like going to the American Legions because you do get, like, even when you're having a rough day, you can go there and talk to somebody, and they've gone through it, and they can help you through it.
The number one thing that I've taken away from World War II veterans all the way through, you're not fighting for the flag. You're not fighting for the government. You're not fighting for the president. You're not fighting for whatever. You're fighting for your brothers alongside of you.
Yep. Your goal is to bring everybody home.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the mission. That's mission one.
Yep.
Wow. Tommy, this is phenomenal. You're living up in my home area in Republic, Michigan.
Yeah.
God's country.
Yeah, you can call it that if you like 300 inches of snow.
Right.
And mosquitoes that weigh about 3 pounds.
Yep. The national bird.
Yeah, the national bird. But I'll tell you what, I know a lot of Vietnam vets, they pretty much, when they came back, they moved out into the kind of like the woods of the UP and just decompressed. It's a pretty good place for that, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's nice. I live in a small town. Don't really have any neighbors, and so I don't got to worry about it. It's quiet.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that's and like I said, my ex-father-in-law owned the one bar in town. Have you developed a fondness for pasties?
I'm still trying to get used to them. They are pretty good, though.
Jim, there was a national TV show did a story on these 85-year-old ladies at the Church in Republic would do this big pasty feed, and they were it's like forever, wasn't it? They still do it.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. But it was a national story, these ladies making pasties in Republic, Michigan.
Is your uncle's bar still functioning?
My ex-father-in-law?
Oh,
I think it is, right?
Yeah, it's still. It went from three bars in that town to one.
We love monopolies.
Tommy, we can't thank you enough for being here, for what you've done for our country, what you did for your brothers and your sisters. That's the true story. You protected your brothers and your sisters, buddy. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yep. Thank you.
You're a great man.
Thank you, Tommy.
Mind on the Mayor at the Duck Creek VFW back after this.
From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
No matter how you say it, Berenson's Candies in Green Bay has been synonymous with Christmas tradition since 1925. That means a trip to Green Bay without Berenson's Candies could get you in a lot of trouble. Stock up on your favorites like Meltaways, Pecan Turtles, and Angel Food. When buying your candy this year, you better make it Berenson's. The Berenson's family wishes you a Merry Christmas season. Berenson's Candies, 200 North Broadway in Green Bay. The chocolate people dream of, no matter how you say it.
Brr, the weather is getting chilly, so come warm up indoors at Heights Pub and Parlor, located at 217 North Washington Street in downtown Green Bay, and enjoy a relaxing atmosphere, friendly service, and delicious food. Grab a signature panini or prime Angus burger for lunch, have dinner with friends and a featured entree, or stop by for after-work drinks during happy hour. And don't forget to book your holiday party or special event in our private upstairs parlor, as 2024 dates are filling fast. Like and follow us on Facebook or head to heightsgb.com to learn more.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy, and today's work money word is fiduciary. Well, fiduciary is a mega important term that you got to know when it comes to getting professional financial advice. In the world of money, you want someone committed to the fiduciary standard because those folks are legally obligated to act in your best interest only. I mean, every other broker or advisor or banker who has not specifically committed to the fiduciary standard and told you that that's what they're doing, those folks don't have that obligation. They could be selling you products or encouraging you to invest in things or put your money in places that end up helping their wallet even more than yours. So simply put, anytime that you are hiring a financial advisor, ask them if they uphold the fiduciary standard. For me and mine, fiduciary advisors are the only ones I'm trusting my money to. That was your Work Money Minute. For more, check out workmoney.org. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
He said, son, have you seen the world? Well, what would you say? If I said that you could just carry this gun, you'll even get paid. I said that sounds pretty good. Black leather boots, spit shine so bright. They cut off my hair, but it looks alright. We marched and we sang. We all became friends as we learned how to fight. A hero of war, yeah, that's what I'll be. And when I come home, they'll be damn proud of me. I'll carry this flag to the grave if I must, 'cause it's a flag.
Okay, welcome back. Winding her down here at the Duck Creek VFW. Jim, I don't know if you've ever been here before, but like I said, I've been here for a lot of years. It's my favorite event and favorite day of the entire year, and I mean that sincerely.
I can see why. The camaraderie here, and what a range of people too, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, we had Afghanistan, Vietnam people, served
Iraq,
at different
yep.
times, Iraq. They love it being here, and this has been going on for some time, and they really need that camaraderie, that support. But something that we can't look past, Johnny, is the support that they need from their families.
Yeah, and the community.
From the community. But Kathy Olowski is here, who is married to a wonderful person, a veteran, and there's got to be some challenges along the way.
Well, I had people in my family that had served, of
right.
course. I didn't seek out to marry someone who was active duty. It just happened that I happened to fall in love with my husband. But while he was active duty, yes, there were challenges. I mean, there were leaving your family, leaving
right.
your friends. I didn't get married till I was 35 years old for the first time. So I had an established network of friends and family, and then knowing that that you could move at any moment, right? Our first move was only 2 hours away from family and friends, but then we got orders and we moved to Kentucky, which was a little bit further. So I think it's all about, I don't want to call it a challenge, it's about being adaptable.
Well, not only that, but I mean, there's times, and actually I was talking to a gentleman yesterday who is going to be deployed again in 2025, and he's not going to tell his wife for a while yet because just the stress and the strain, you know, she'll be battling that for a lot longer time than she really needs to. And for people like yourself that live with that, they don't see that other side of all of a sudden living by yourself, worrying about your husband, worrying about your spouse, taking care of everything back here.
They don't. Again, I was older when I got married, so I was happy that I was a very independent person because I think that made it easier for me personally to adapt, where if you are a little bit younger, it is difficult no matter what. I mean, I remember having my 40th birthday sitting at our kitchen counter eating a lean cuisine, but you learn to be stronger, you learn to be more resilient, you learn to adapt, knowing that we may move. You get to reinvent yourself. That's how I looked at it. And we've got friends all over the country, which is amazing. And if I wouldn't have been married to them, I don't know if I ever would have left Milwaukee. So to know that this opportunity of marrying someone who was active duty has taught me so much and has introduced me to so many new things, and I could support someone who was serving our country just makes me very proud.
That's awesome.
And Kathy, some of the returning veterans may have some struggles emotionally, and others of them aren't aware of some of the benefits they deserve. And sometimes you have to look to the spouse for that.
Absolutely. And I think part of my journey now is trying to educate people if they are not connected through the VA or don't get any services, sharing with them who to contact or even giving them Jeff's phone number. Honestly, I can't even tell you the number of people that have come to me, even people at the shelter, saying, I know your husband's a veteran. Is there anything he can do? And Jeff has called many a stranger, who doesn't become a stranger long because you know my husband, but he's called many a veteran to say, okay, this is who you should call, or are you doing this, or here's some resources for you. And I'm always surprised that people don't know this, but they don't know it.
Well, that's what Joe Olick was talking about. So that's his biggest frustration, is we try to get the word out as much as possible, but people still are unaware.
I know Jeff is knowledgeable, but I think spouses need to look hard at that as well, you know, because there's more out there than I think people think. But then there's so much more with just education and healthcare and things that, you know, we as taxpayers, we want them to use these benefits.
Right.
I mean, there's no pushback on that. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think being part of something so big, even when we were stationed at Fort McCoy, there was a family readiness group.
Yeah, FRG.
You have this family that maybe you've only known for 3 or 4 days, and you are welcome into this big family. There are local support groups for spouses.
I know.
Right in Green Bay.
Yep.
And I don't know if a lot of people even know that.
Yeah.
And
especially when they're deployed, right. That's very important.
And, you know, we didn't have small kids at home or anything during the course of him being active duty, which made it a lot easier, too.
Yeah, no question.
I look to these wives or spouses, whether it's a male or female, right?
If
your wife is deployed,
right? You're
right?
Exactly correct.
And you all of a sudden are managing the whole household.
No question.
You are paying the bills. If you've never paid bills, you are mowing the lawn, you are shoveling the snow. It's very, very important that they know where to seek assistance.
And there is support
from
out there. Right. I think that's important.
It's
absolutely
a great perspective, Kathy.
Right.
Thanks
right
for providing this for us today.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, we've had a great time down here at Duck Creek VFW.
Yeah,
Jim, I told you I've been coming down here for 20 years or so.
And
like I said, it's my favorite day of the entire year. And meeting these people and reconnecting with them is such a special time. And Kathy, for you to be a big part of this with your husband, Jeff, and everything, and all you do in the community, I just want to salute you and for what you do and say thank you.
Thank you. And I would like to thank all the veterans for their service and for our freedom. So
awesome.
Thank you so much. And thank you to the both of you.
Thank you. Todd, Conrad, thank you for putting it all together. Wesley, thanks for always doing what you do, buddy. Thanks for your service to our country.
Always be here, brother.
I know you are. Jim?
This has been great, John.
Great having you here, buddy.
Yeah.
This was a lot of fun.
Love it.
Going to say so long. We're recording this at the VFW in Duck Creek. And happy Thanksgiving for the
it
folks,
is
too.
It all is right. Thanksgiving. And let's all be thankful for a lot of things on our list, but definitely
thankful
veterans need to be
the
on there.
For the mayor. Final mayor. See ya.
It's not what they see. Just medals and scars. So damn proud of me. And I brought home that flag. But it's a flag that I love, and a flag that I trust.
97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM.
On the next new Wisco Weekend, we're bringing back one of our favorite issues. I'm Lisa Hale.
I'm Terry Barr. It's all about joy, happiness, and simple ways you can share it.
Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS.
In the market for a home loan? It's time to meet Kristen Ambos, the top 1% of loan originators in the U.S. and the number one female loan officer in Wisconsin for 2 years running. With over 20 years experience, Kristen and Point Mortgage Corporation are here to serve all of your lending needs, from conventional to FHA, USDA, and VA loans. Plus, with their rate match guarantee, if they can't beat your pre-approved rate, they'll pay you $500. Call Kristen Ambos today at 920-606-1156 and let her and Point Mortgage make your homeownership dreams come true.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.